Morning, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on The Daily here.
No worries.
Now, as we say, the Manus Island Immigration Detention Centre has been slated for closure by the end of this year. The PNG government wants it closed by the end of this year. Do we know, are there any indications at the moment of where the people in that centre are going to go?
I think you have hit the nail on the head in your introduction, Sean. The issue is there's really not. There's so much uncertainty. There's been reporting of it being on, it's reported off, it's reported on, it's reported off. But at the centre of this, there's 2,000 people trying to explain to their children where they're going to be next year. And that's the difficult thing. So we've got a situation where the Australian government doesn't have any service providers. All of the service providers have pulled out from running these two camp locations because they know that they're inhumane and they know that they're unlawful under international law. And so our government is forced into a corner, but still they're trying to offload people in the United States. Now, that's fine if that was to go ahead, but it needs to go ahead quickly, and people need to be evacuated out of those camps as soon as possible, like yesterday.
Well, Peter Dutton has sworn up and down that these people are not going to be settled in Australia, and with the deal with the Trump administration, the now Trump administration, assuming it does go through, there's still a need for this, this in quotation marks, extreme vetting for all asylum seekers to be settled in America. Now, one would assume extreme vetting, that's going to take quite a bit of time as well. So if we're looking at this centre closing down by the end of 2017, is there still talk of the government looking for for another offshore detention centre?
There hasn't been any talk that I've heard of the government looking for another offshore detention centre. I mean, I imagine they may consider bringing people to onshore Australia for a period of time. I would hope that would happen into the community if they were forced to do that. But I guess it's all so confusing, and it's just really difficult for people who are in that situation to know what's happening. And our government has tried for years now to make this work. And as you say, Peter Dutton has sworn up and down that he's not going to bring people to Australia. But what is he going to do? A resettlement deal with America will take about a year to a year and a half, one would assume, with normal processes, extreme vetting. Nobody knows what that looks like. We've got people who have serious mental health issues and who have been, from my experience when I was on Nauru in 2014, people were at their wit's end then. It's now 3 years on. I don't know how people are clinging on to hope at this point in time. So our government just needs to take responsibility and bring them here as soon as they can.
Yeah, that is quite a question. Just how long have some of these asylum seekers actually been waiting at this point with no real certain end in sight?
People were sent to Nauru and Manus Island at the end of 2013. So it commenced 19th of July 2013. And a lot of people were there already by the end of 2013. So we're now looking at 3.5 years or so that they've been sitting in limbo. And we need to remember that the environment that they've been sitting in as well. The men on Manus have been subject to violent attacks from people outside the centre. The people on Nauru have been living in abject misery inside tented camps. I guess the men on Manus have been living like that as well, but with the addition of the danger. But everybody has been in tented camps, on camping cots, no mattresses. I have seen old ladies sleeping on the ground, children running around with broken shoes, which we used to try to fix with bread ties. People have been living in horrendous conditions for over 3 years now, and it just can't go on any longer. Even though people are settled into the communities, we're still seeing reports of assaults on both locations because we can't expect a developing country to absorb such a high volume of people who are from a different culture and just don't belong to the small communities that are very delicate in that region. It's horrendous what we've done.
Yeah, not to editorialise it too much, but I seem to recall, and it sort of fits in with this discussion as we ask what next, I seem to recall a quote either from an advocate or from one of the asylum seekers themselves that it was worse than a prison sentence because when you were in prison, obviously you would assume you were guilty, but you also knew there was an end in sight. You knew when your sentence would be up.
That's right. And the worst thing that I remember was the kids. And kids need everyday reassurance about everyday things. But these are parents who are trying to say to their kids, I don't know, mate. I don't know when you're going to get to go to a proper school. I don't know when we're going to have to a house to live in. I don't know when I'm going to be able to cook you that favourite dish that I cooked for you, you know, 5 years ago before we left home. I don't know. I don't have answers. And so for a parent, that's extremely difficult, and people just really struggle with it. And the kids, it was just awful to see the kids in that much uncertainty.
Now, we have seen a coalition of charities, aid groups, unions, think tanks, all these sort of individuals and organisations calling for a bipartisan policy to close and evacuate the camps, bring the refugees here, bring the asylum seekers here to Australia. Have these calls, in your view, actually influenced the government at all? Or, you know, after all these years, are they still sort of falling on deaf ears?
Well, I guess we've been saying bring them here for a long time. We did, you know, we when the government came out and said that they were considering a deal with the United States, or that they'd struck a deal with the United States, I think for the people on the islands, they were very patient with that idea, more than one would expect, I guess, of them after 3 years in limbo. And we were quite patient with that idea as well as a sector and people who are engaged with supporting people in offshore processing. But it's sort of come to a point now where these people are being treated as a political football, and it's unacceptable for these human lives hanging in the balance to just get kicked around in the media. I mean, they're all sitting there watching every single article as it comes out, and they're reading every single thing. And when something comes out, they ring us all and say, what's going on? What does this mean? You know, and how do we explain that to them? So I guess we've all come to a point now where there's no more chances for this government. They can't continue to torture people in this way. And they need to take responsibility, bring people to Australia, and however they want to manage their policy going forward, this policy has failed. So they need to make sure that they have a humane and efficient processing ability. Nobody's saying that everybody should just come to Australia by boat, and we all want people to, you know, travel the ocean, and we want a regular migration. We don't want that. We want a policy that works, a policy that sees our country collaborating with the region, working to provide dollars to provide safe living arrangements for people in transit countries, and where people can be safely and humanely processed and they don't have to get onto boats. So I guess for us it's just we've seen this government's policy fail and everybody's lost patience.
Well, Natasha, thank you very much. Obviously a great deal of frustration in this one. Do appreciate you coming on and having a chat with us about it.
No worries. Thank you.